Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the show, we welcome you here at Empowering Ourselves Together Talk Radio, and thank you in advance for meeting us in this space, okay, this space of oneness and togetherness here, because we here all in one accord to come together and just learn some insights and some techniques from our guests that helps the quality of our life. And on today's show, we're going to be in the area of relationships, okay? So thank you, guests, and thank our guests and our listeners, for being here with us on that. And if you don't know, this is Empowering Ourselves Together Talk Radio. And here, this is where we promote and we learn, okay? I want to reiterate, we promote and we learn together on this show, on how to take control of our life, and we mean it here, okay? This is why the guests are here, and not let our lives take control of us. So that's our motto and our mission here at Empowering Ourselves Together Talk Radio, learning and promoting and learning how to take control of our life and not let our lives take control of us, and living our highest and best self, and learn to find and live our highest and best life. And this is Empowering Ourselves Together Talk Radio. And we cannot do that without our guests, okay? And I got to give a shout out to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for helping me be the person that I am, and he is my rock. Now, he is my personal, my personal rock, okay, and he is my everything. So that's just me, and for all the believers out there, high fives and kudos to you. We all need a higher power, okay. The episode title today of this episode here at Empowering Ourselves Together Talk Radio is What's Science Got to Do with It? Simple ways knowing facts can make your life better. I'm going to repeat. What's science got to do with it? Simple ways knowing facts can make your life better. And you guys, don't get it mixed up. If you're listening to a retape of this, a recording, because of space, it's going to say, what's science got to do with it? Simple relationship facts. Simple relationship facts. And it cuts off right there. So don't get it, missus. But the most important thing is we're here for you at Empowering Ourselves Together Talk Radio. And this is going to be a great show in the era of relationships, okay? And our guest here is Dr. Dawana. And if I said it wrong, she will correct me. I hope I got it right, but I know I got it right. Dr. Dawana Welch, okay? And I'm going to give you a little background bio on our guest, Dr. Dawana Welch. She's the author of Love Factually, okay? She's a professor and has been a professor at multi-universities such as Florida, California, and Texas, and won the NISOD Teaching Excellence Award, doctorate in psychology. Okay. Wrote for the Psychology Today, and also I believe she wrote for eHarmony and Love Science blog. And I like this. It's a research-based relationship advice. Has relationship advice for all of us out there, okay? So, you know, this episode here is about relationships. We got the, our doctor, Dawana Welch, here to help us out. And I like what she says. She says she coaches men and women who want more love in their lives. And she does that via Skype or at her office in Eugene, Oregon. Okay? So please give a warm welcome for our guest. Hello, doctor.
Hello, Kalane. It's so nice to meet you and meet your guest. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay. Thank you for coming, and it's a pleasure to have you here also. Okay, if it's okay with you, can you start off and just let the listeners know a little bit how you help people?
Yeah, so there are a lot of ways to think about love. Most of us hear about it from our friends, our culture, maybe our church. And what happened in my own personal life was that none of those sources really led to success for me. And I'm a scientist. A lot of people don't realize that psychology actually is a science. We use the same methods that the other sciences use. We just use them with people instead of with things. And so I got curious about whether science had ever discovered anything about what helped people get into and maintain healthy, happy, lifelong relationships, because that wasn't happening for me. And when I started learning the science and applying it to my life got much better. I've been happily married for almost 9 years now to my husband, Vic, and we and our daughter, as you mentioned, live now in Eugene, Oregon. So I got interested in it from a personal standpoint, and then what happened is some people heard about my success, and they started asking if I would help them. So I now have a business Skyping with clients. I also have a blog where I will answer anyone's question for free. They can write to me at Duana@lovesciencemedia.com and get the answer that they want. And if I don't have the answer, I'll certainly tell you that. But it's all from the standpoint of social science. What does science say people most of the time?
Okay. Okay, listeners, you got it. We're in the area of relationships, as the doctor said, and love, and there's a science that our guest here, Dr. Dawana Welch, has researched here, and she says there's facts that can help us in our relationships. So, doctor, please let the listeners know, what are some of these scientific facts, this evidence or this research that can help the common listener in the area of love and in their relationships, like the do's and the don'ts? What has research shown?
Well, you know, there's science about a lot of different areas of relationships. So some of the most important science is about the work you do on yourself before you get into a relationship. The kind of beliefs that you have going into a relationship are very important. Think about someone who's looking for a job. If you've ever known someone who says, oh, I'm never going to get a job, you know, I apply, but it's never going to happen for me, you know that that attitude spills over into their odds, right?
Wow.
So,
yes.
You know, I mean, nobody wants to go out with the person who says, you wouldn't want to go out with me, would you? Well, not anymore. So, you know, that's an obvious thing. Some less obvious things, though, you know, we get a lot of bad advice just talking to one another or from books or from movies or from songs. Recent research is indicating that we have fewer people in the United States, fewer young people than at any point in our known history in this country who view marriage as a goal at all. And the reason that they don't view it as a goal, those of them who don't, is because they think that marriage doesn't work, it makes people unhappy, and it has high odds of failure. So I just want to ask you, Colleen, what do you think are the odds of failure for a marriage? What do you think the divorce rate is?
Well, actually, I think I heard that so many times, but I don't know if I remember it. What, 3 out of 5? 4 out of 5? I mean,
so,
no longer
so
than 5 years.
You're talking greater than 50% odds of divorce. And that, in fact, has a lot to do with why even fairly well-informed people on lots of subjects like you really view marriage as potentially a raw deal, because who does the media pay attention to? They don't pay attention to the success stories. There are not so many songs about people who fall in love and stay in love, and the people who are in your world who are happily married, probably you don't notice them as much. You notice the people who are miserable and constantly talking about it. The divorce rate in 1970 was 47%. That's the highest it's ever been. It has never been above 50% in our country. The divorce rate right now, since the year 2000, is only 1 in 3, meaning 2 in 3, or in your example, 4 out of 6, 4 out of 6 marriages are lasting for a lifetime, and apparently they are largely happy marriages. So one of the things science tells us is, first of all, marriage works. People stay married, even in our society where they're not forced to stay married, where people can make money without being married, people stay married. Another thing that science shows us is that marriage is not a raw deal and that singlehood is not risk-free. It's very interesting. People in these surveys think that being single is risk-free. I'll just stay single or I'll just live with someone and that'll be risk-free. But what the science indicates is that married people are head and shoulders doing better than people living any other way in numerous different areas of their lives. By living any other way, I mean people who are divorced, people who are single and never married, people who are cohabiting, and people who are widowed. That's everybody else. Married people are doing better than everybody else. They're doing better in a number of ways. One of them is financially. Women and men are wealthier if they get and stay married. Their kids are doing better academically, socially, in terms of their mental health. Their career progress is doing better. A recent study showed that young women, by young, I mean in their early 20s, I don't mean teens, but young women who marry in their early 20s are actually achieving more career success than women who are marrying later or not at all. And that, you know, the idea that married people never have sex or the sex they do have must be bad and obligatory, you know, just doing it because you have to. Actually, in study after study, married people are not only having as much sex as cohabitors, that is people who are living together, they're having more sex than everybody else, and they report the highest quality of sex compared to anyone else, including cohabitors. So, in other words, there's just a lot of mythology that's incorrect about marriage and about long-term relationships, and science just blows it out of the water. And I think if more people knew that, they would set a goal for themselves of finding a solid, happy, lifelong relationship. But because people don't know this, because they don't realize that marriage is such a good deal, they think it's something to be avoided. They don't understand that singlehood comes with its own special package of risks. I did have one guy who said, well, these are correlational data, meaning that we don't know cause and effect. Yeah, but there's such a thing as logic in science. If you have a package of benefits that only comes after the wedding, and if you get divorced, all of those benefits go away. But then if you get remarried, all the benefits come back. I think we're pretty safe saying that marriage has a package of benefits that come with it.
Yes.
So those are just some of the myths.
Yes, I counted. I lost count after about 6 of the benefits, and they were all great. I mean, as listeners, as we see, as the doctor has given us, and that's research. That's those are factual, as you say, right, doctor? Those are facts about marriage.
Yeah. So in science, we don't usually use the word fact. The reason that I have kind of jumped the shark on that one, I use the word fact, is because the reason scientists don't use the word fact is a limiting word. It It makes it sound like we don't have anything left to learn. Instead, scientists use the word theory. Now, if you're just talking to your friends, the word theory to most people just means this might or might not be true. That's not what scientists mean when we use the word theory. We mean this is a group of ideas and observations that work really well together. And in fact, some theories have reached a point of such strong global support that they are considered fact. And so that's what I like to talk about is, what do we know at such a strong level that most scientists would consider it to be at the level of fact? What we know is being single is risky. It's risky to your health. It's risky to your wealth. It's risky to your happiness. Men who stay single have 6 times the odds of death from every cause compared to men who marry, and that's every year. I mean, that is a known risk factor. It's more dangerous than smoking a pack a day.
Okay. Wow.
So this is, you know, I feel like sometimes I want to say, listen, I'm the ambassador of love. I've got science here, you know. Don't be so afraid to take the plunge. Again, obviously with the right partner, but with the right partner, don't stand on the edge of the pool. Dive in, people. The water is better than fine.
So that brings me to the next question. Where are all these wrong myths coming from, these relationship, where are we getting this information, this wrong information? Where is this coming from? And where should we be getting it from? So to the listeners out there, I'm asking the doctor, our guest here, Dr. Dawana Welch, in case you're just joining us, you know, she just told us all the benefits of, you know, being married, of what we've learned and the benefits. And it was a lot of them. So I would like to know, why don't more people know about this, and why do people, where they're getting the information from?
Well, you know, most people just don't read science journals. Yeah, I read science journals so you don't have to. I nerd it up so you don't need to. most people aren't that interested in it. And most science articles are not written in a very compelling, interesting fashion. A major reason I wrote my book is I wanted to find an entertaining, user-friendly way for people to benefit directly from lots and lots of different studies without having to read the studies themselves. My book is not a science book. It's an advice book based on science. And that's, I think, an important distinction. But I did have to read the science. Most people, you know, throughout all of human history and even human prehistory, it appears that how we learn stuff was through stories. We haven't had statistics very long. We've had stories since we've had language, about 45,000 years. So that's still where most people get their relationship advice, is through stories. And for a long time, that actually worked. It's only been more recently that it's been less helpful. And that has a lot to do with cultural changes. Science has shown that our psychology, the set of thoughts that we carry around with us, a large portion of that psychology seems to be based in our genetic code. For example, men everywhere in the world, without exception, have a strong preference for women with a 0.75 waist-to-hip ratio, meaning that their hips are about a third larger than their waist. This is culturally invariant. It doesn't matter where you go in the world or at what time you're looking at men's ideals, whether it's thousands of years ago in cave paintings or whether it's right now. The 0.75 waist-to-hip ratio is where it's at, but men aren't consciously aware of that. This is a psychology they carry around without ever consciously examining it or even knowing that it exists, but it is driving male behavior. They're chasing the girls with smaller waists than hips. That's what they're doing. Now you might say, well, why are they doing that? Well, let's say that you're a caveman in ancient times, and let's say that you prefer women who are shaped like a barrel. Well, women who are shaped like a barrel are either already pregnant, or they are ill, or they are much older than is fertile. And so you might very well prefer that, but are you going to be one of the ancestors of humans to come, or are you just going to be part of human history? You're going to be part of human history, not ancestry. Ancestry means you had to be attracted to women who were fertile. Today, 100% of men carry forward a mating psychology that strongly prefers cues of fertility. So that's just an example of the fact that our psychology comes from a really ancient time. Now, what's happening is in modern culture, our culture can change really quickly, but in our hearts, we are still cave people, and that's a problem. For example, our culture tells us, hey, men and women, you're just alike, except that you have different genitalia, but you're just alike. So, for example, if you have a sexual hookup, you'll both feel the same way about it. I want to, at this point, break in here and say, Chilean and listeners, I'm a feminist. I believe that women and men are equal. That doesn't mean I believe that we're exactly the same. Science does not support that. We're the same in almost every regard, but there are huge differences in our inherited mating psychology, the psychology that has been genetically passed to us from our ancestors. And I will tell you that what modern culture is telling you to do at the early part of the human mating dance is going to hurt. We know that about 3 in 4 men who have a sexual hookup have no difficulty keeping their emotional distance from their partner, but about 3 in 4 women who have a sexual hookup say, you know what, I wanted to keep my distance, but I just couldn't do it. We know that in a 20-year study of people who were divorced, the attempted suicide rate was very low, but 100% of the people who attempted suicide were women who got in a hookup situation. The sexes do not process emotional information about relationships in all the same ways. They just don't. I wish that were not true, but it is. So, in other words, we used to get our information from stories that came from our culture and our religion, and we still do, but our culture has changed so rapidly that it no longer colludes or goes along with our inherited mating psychology, and that's the rub. That's where we've got problems, and that's where science is now stepping in and proving very helpful.
And I know that's a whole nother book, and I think they wrote one. Wasn't that Man from Mars and Women from Venus by Gray? Was it John Gray, I think?
Yeah, John Gray. So John Gray wrote about one very specific part of communication between men and women, and it's very important. What I'm talking about, he's talking about couples that are already established, that have been together for a long time. What I am talking about is, how do you get to the point of becoming an established couple to start with? How do you get from, I haven't even met this person yet, to, yes, I know that this is the right partner,
yeah,
and I'm ready to commit? That's what my writing and my talking deals with.
I think we got time for that. Time is moving by so fast. And then I want you to let the listeners know where they can contact you at, where they can get your book, and some other things you're doing, and what other services you have. But first, I would like, if you would, what we were just talking about is what you were just saying about some of the ways that we can meet and how we find that person and close the gap to, you know, as you were stating, you know, the pre-dance.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Of course, I've written a whole 10-chapter book on this topic, so I can't cover it all in 5 minutes. But I can say a huge source of problems is that people get in a leaky boat and then wonder why it's sinking. They get into relationships where there are already such major holes and flaws that the relationship really has low or no odds of success, but they keep rowing anyway. And so a big part of the process is identifying what you want, identifying what you must have, and then trusting yourself that these standards are appropriate. How do you know if your standards are okay? Here's some homework for everyone listening. I want you on a computer, or if you don't have a computer, God forbid, pen and paper, but it's better on a computer because you can go back and revise it easily later. I want you to make a list, and I want you to list every single thing you think would be something you would want in a life partner. Some of these things might be really, really important. Say you're really politically active and you want somebody else who's politically active in the same party. and that's really important to you. Say you also like guacamole, but you know that's not a deal breaker. I want you to put it all on the list, every single thing you can think of that you would want. Then after doing that, after you brainstormed, I want you to divide the list into things that you must have and things that you would merely like to have, must-haves and wants. Now, on those must-haves, from now on, when you meet someone, you're not going to treat dating as some just fun experience. You're going to treat it like an interview. You're going to find lighthearted ways to make sure that on the first few meetings, you find out, does this person match your standards or not? And I will tell you, the most important standard that belongs on everyone's must-haves is, this person is kind and respectful even when things are not going their way. You know,
yes.
Sometimes you have to use the words of non-scientists to get a scientific idea across. So I'm going to quote Maya Angelou here. When you meet someone and they tell you who they are, believe them. Don't make excuses for their bad behavior. Don't paper it over. Don't pretend like this problem doesn't exist. If they've got a deal breaker, the deal's broken. Move on. Love is actually not rare. It's really common, and you need to. It's not enough to sustain your relationship. So even if you're super attracted to them, that's not a reason to keep dating someone inappropriate. So that's the first quote I want to share with you about your list. The second one is from Dave Barry, the comedy writer. If someone's nice to you but they're rude to the waiter, they're not a nice person. Don't
date
people who are unkind and disrespectful. Just don't do it. Look, every abuser out there, you know how they started? They started by being unkind and disrespectful, usually not to the person they were going to wind up hitting. They were usually unkind and disrespectful in their speech towards or about an ex, or towards or about the wait staff, or towards or about someone else. Do not give them a free pass. Stop seeing anyone unkind or disrespectful, and you will not be abused. You will wind up with someone wonderful.
Okay. And you have it, listeners. And that is our guest, Dr. Dawana Welch, our relationship everything coach, the person who's given this episode such great insight and wisdom on our relationships. Now, Dr. Dawana, to you, about a minute and a half, let them know where they can contact you, the name of your book, where to purchase at, what they can expect by contacting you, other services. There you go. Let them know.
All right. Well, you can find me and information about me at www.lovefactually. That's love factually with an F for fact. Lovefactually.co. That's www.lovefactually.co. You can get more information about me. You can see other scientists and other writers' endorsements of my book, and you can click through to get a free chapter. And if you go over to Amazon or iTunes, you can find my book on in three formats. I've got it in audio and in ebook and in paperback. So whatever format you like, there is a format for you. Again, you can find it in most bookstores. You can definitely find it online at Amazon, iTunes, Audible.com, and you can get a free chapter at Amazon, or you can get a free chapter at lovefactually.co. By the way, for any of you who want to email me, I do write a blog called lovesciencemedia.com, and you can write to me through that blog. If you go to lovesciencemedia.com, I will answer your letter for free and confidentially. And you can find my email at Duana, that's D-U-A-N-A, at lovesciencemedia.com.
Yes. That is our guest, Dr. Dawana Welch, our relationship coach for today. And I thank you for coming once again, and you are always welcome on the show anytime. Any new factualities that can help enhance, and I'm going to tell you, I've taken a lot away from the show. You said a lot, so I'm still digesting it in. And, yes, so I'm taking a lot away from the show, digesting it in, doctor. Thank you. Join us again, please.
Well, I'd be happy to, Q-Lane, and I wish all of you the best in love. Thank you.
Thank you.